Good morning. How's everybody doing? Everybody good? Happy New Year. I hope it started off well for you the first 7 days. I hope it's good. Hey, listen, today we are starting what we have done for the last 7 years since we planted. We are starting our fasting and prayer, and I'm hoping and praying that most of you have joined in with us, maybe all of you. If you're brand new to our church and you're like, what is fasting and prayer? Well, we take the first 21 days of January. We take the first month of January and we take 21 days out of it. And we fast things in our life that would become a sacrifice, and we use it to focus on God and who He is, and then we spend time in prayer, okay? And so one thing that we do is every morning, Monday through Friday, we're going to meet at our downtown campus at 6 o'clock, okay? Meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning for about 45 minutes. We're going to have some live worship. We're going to have a devotion, and then we're going to do some prayer, okay? And so we're going to be praying Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock, and then Saturday and Sunday, we'll let you sleep in an extra hour. We'll start at 7 o'clock, okay? And so we'll do 7 o'clock at the downtown campus on Saturday and then 7 o'clock right here on Sunday since we're already here, okay? So come and hang out with us. I promise you, if you can roll out of bed and get your honey up, it will be worth your while. I promise you. I think you will absolutely love it. And listen, if you're here and you're wondering, like, what is prayer and fasting? You can go to desperationchurch.tv, pull up the front page, and you will go to just a little place to click on it, and it will give you all the information that you need about prayer and fasting. And prayerfully, you can jump in and partake with us in prayer and fasting. It's a powerful time in our church, and I really look forward to it, kinda. All right, my flesh does not enjoy it, but my spirit just eats it up. All right, listen. By the way, I forgot. Hey, everybody online, I didn't forget about you. I'm coming back to you. Hey, can we give it up for everybody online watching right now, live? Glad you're watching. Hope God speaks to you, challenges you, moves on you. We're glad that you are tuning in. Hey, listen, also, I also want to challenge you. I know it's the first of the year, 2018. There's a great possibility some of you are wanting to like make some changes in your life. We're going to be talking about that over the next several weeks. Listen, I want to challenge you. This is one of those series where you need to come every single week. You need to be here as often as possible because I really believe that this series, every series is impactful, but this is one of those that I really believe is going to change your life if you'll come and apply it to your life, okay? But here's what I want to challenge you with. If you're brand new here today, or maybe this is your first time to church, or maybe you've been out of church for a long time and you said, like, you know what, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to go back. I'm going to check out this Desperation Church and see what it's like. Listen, I want to encourage you. Hey, give us a look. This might sound like a long time to you, but it's really not, all right? Give us a year. Give us a year in your life. I promise you, if you will give us a year in your life, you will see that your life will be radically different within a year. And when I say give us a year, I'm talking about just dive in. We'll start small groups at the end of January, 1st of February. We'll be doing signups and listen, dive into one of those. When we do serve days, whenever you can make it, come and serve with us. Whenever we have something going on, hey, just come and be a part, all right? And hey, maybe go through the Connect class. I'm not saying you've got to join, but just go find out more about who we are. We've got it today, right after the service. Discover more about who we are and stuff, okay? And just dive in. I promise you, within a year, your life will be changed. I really believe that. I believe that much. And listen, the reason why I believe that, number one, God's presence is in this place. But number two, it's got more to do than what takes place on stage. It's got more to do with the people that sit in the seats beside you. There are people in this room that are absolutely incredible people that you do not know yet that you need to get to know. And if you're not here, you can't get to know them. How many of you in this room been coming to church here for a little while would say, I've met some of my best friends in this church? Throw your hands up. Well, listen, look around. There's people here. Your best friend is sitting in here and you have never met them before, and they're going to be a safe place. They're going to be a person that's going to wrap their arms around you and encourage you and love you and walk with you through life. I think everybody needs somebody like that. And I promise you, you give us a chance, they're here. So I just want to challenge. This is my first challenge of the day, because this whole message is going to be challenging, all right? Listen, we're doing a series that we're calling Reset. You know, I really believe that all of us at times life gets out of whack. How many of you life gets out of whack every now and then? All right, I got my hands up. That's the reason why a lot of us do New Year's resolutions. Now, a lot of you don't do New Year's resolutions because you're like, man, what's the point? It lasts about 3 days. How many of you have made a New Year's resolution and it went over like a pregnant pole vaulter? It did not work. Throw your hands up, all right? I would step out and say that would probably be most of us. Mine lasts about 3 hours. I'm gonna eat healthy this year. So I eat a Snickers instead of a Musketeers because it has peanuts in it. And I know that peanuts are healthy for you. All right, listen, it does not last long. It is not good a lot of times, but a lot of times it does last. Now listen, there are people in this room that have made New Year's resolution. And I want to tell you something. I want to congratulate you. And I want to tell you, number one, that you can do this. Whatever your resolution is, you can do it. I believe in you. I know you can. You need to pray and ask God every day to give you the strength. I really believe that you can do it. Now, there's other people in this room that quit making New Year's resolutions. Like, man, what is the point of making resolutions? I'm not going to keep it anyway, so I'm not even going to put that on myself. Now, I'll be honest with you. New Year's resolutions are good. It's you know, 2018 is a fresh year. It's a new beginning. It's kind of got that new season feel to it. And, you know, I really believe that really, honestly, all of us, some way, form, or fashion, should be wanting to make some kind of change in our life. And I really believe that at the beginning of the new year is a great opportunity to at least try. Give it a shot, all right? Now, listen, we're going to be talking the next several weeks of just some ways that we're going to try to help you be the best that you can be in 2018. My declaration for you is that this is your best year yet. This is your year. You can say it. This is my year, all right? New year, new me, all right? I think all of us should have some kind of mentality that way, form, or fashion. Now, what we're going to talk about today is, I believe, is probably what we need to talk about right off the bat if we're going to have a new year and have a new us, all right? And I believe that the only way that we can have anything in our life, accomplish resolutions, accomplish change, accomplish a new me, is we have got to have a different mindset. We've got to win the battle of our minds, and God knows that. And so what I want to talk to you about today is changing your mindset. I want to talk about renewing your mind. I want to talk about what's in between your ears, okay? Let's talk about the way we think. Let's talk about renewing our mind, because I'll be honest with you, if your mindset's not right, more than likely you're not even going to give it a shot, and when you do give it a shot, it's not going to work. And so I just kind of want to be, you know, your cheerleader today, and I want to get behind you and inspire you to change. Now listen, I'm hoping that you're doing more than just making New Year's resolutions. I'm hoping you're making mid-year resolutions. I'm hoping you're making end-of-the-year resolutions. I'm hoping you've got the thought process on a regular basis of, I have areas in my life that need to be changed, and I'm going to change. We're going to talk a lot about that today, because that's what God does. Now listen, it's the end of the football year. There's two teams left. We'll just leave it right there. Okay, we'll just leave it right there. I don't want to offend anybody, and I don't want anybody shouting hallelujah for your football team more than Jesus. Okay, now listen. It's at the end of the football year. Guess what starts next August? A new football season. Come on, girl. That's an Auburn fan. Listen. And so, new season next year. Listen, every football team across the nation, we live in the South. Most everybody here loves football except for my wife and my daughter. Everybody else loves it. Listen, we live in the South. It is exciting. It is wonderful. We love football, passionate about football. And so at the beginning of the year in August, it is a new season. It is a fresh time to make goals and challenges. And we're going to be different this year and improve this year on what we failed on last year. And so everybody's records the same. It is and everybody's fired up. Now listen, what happens a lot of times with those goals that people make in August, or maybe they make them right after the season before and they work their tails off all the way up until August and try to capitalize on it in August and September. But what happens is a lot of times teams are very successful in the goals that they make. And then there's a lot of times that teams fail in their mistakes at new seasons with all their goals, not mistakes, they fail with their goals. And here's the big picture. Let's just play pretend like that there's a certain team that loses and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't come up with all their goals at the end of the year. Do you think that that coach is going to be like, well, you know, guys, I guess what? I mean, we didn't make our goals happen. We didn't make our dreams happen this year. So I guess we just need to just quit. I guess we need to just throw in the towel. Well, that coach wouldn't be there very long. I mean, he would be like, see ya, peace out. What if that coach came in and said, hey, you, we might as well just give up. You know, our stud quarterback, you know, he's going to the draft and he's graduating. And then our whole defensive line, my goodness, we're losing every one of them. I mean, they're all seniors and our running back, the stud, he's gone. And so guys, this year we're going to stink. We're not going to be very good. So let's just throw in the towel and we're done. Well, once again, that guy ain't going to keep his job very long. What happens is they come in with this new energy, no matter how bad the year was before. They come in with a new energy and, man, they're ready to conquer their goals. And what they do is this. Every team, no matter who they are, more than likely looks at their failures that they made the season before, and they capitalize and they learn from their mistakes and they move forward and become better in their team effort than they were the year before. They learn. And so I think a lot of us should take an approach like that in our own personal lives. You know, a lot of us like, well, I failed last year. I might as well just throw in the towel. I'm done. I might as well just hang it up for life. This is just who I'm going to be from now on, bless God. Well, God, listen, my God and your God is bigger than that. God hadn't called you to average. And so what I would say is, when you don't make it, thank God for a God that deals with people's failures. He'll pick you up with his blood, dust you off and say, let's move on. Let's capitalize. Let's learn. Let's get better. Let's change. Because when you change, other people around you change. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a lot about that today. You know, I think it's a great opportunity for us to dream and to accomplish all of our dreams. Listen, there's one thing that you have got to have right to be able to change. I guess the question of the day is if you don't have like New Year's resolutions, or let's just play pretend like it's the middle of the year. It is not. It's January. But let's just play pretend like it's June. Why don't we want to change then? Why don't you want to change now? Why don't you have a mindset of wanting to be better in life, in your Christian life? Listen, you could accomplish all your dreams, but there's one thing that I believe a lot of times holds us back from accomplishing who God's called us to be, to live large, to accomplish our dreams, to make changes in our lives. I believe the number one handicap that most of us have is the battle of our minds. We really believe in our mindset that we cannot do whatever it is that you want to accomplish. Listen, I personally believe, this is my personal beliefs, I believe that everybody in here should do something every single day to accomplish who you want to be, whether it's small or whether it's large. Every single day, train yourself, discipline yourself, bring self-control into your life into being somebody that you dream of being. Do something every single day to make that happen, to accomplish it. I heard somebody say the other day about reading. Reading is one of my, that's something I have to do because that's part of my job. But it is, for some of y'all, it is pleasure. Like, oh, I can't wait to go to the library. I'm just going to eat it up. I'm just going to have a stack of books. I just can't wait to read. Listen, it is like, oh God, I got to read. It's like the hardest part of my job, reading, all right? Because there's this thing called ADHD that I may have or may not. My mind goes everywhere when I'm reading. I have to read the same page 74 times to actually understand what it's saying. Is anybody else like that in the house? Thank you, Jesus. I'm not alone. Listen, if I went to the library today, I would be a visitor. They'd have to shake my hand and say, welcome. I'm glad you're here. Listen, so I believe, I heard a guy say the other day that if you read 10 minutes a day, it's better than no minutes. 10 minutes a day will change your life. You know what he said? This is what he said. He said, if you want to do something in your life, this is just leadership stuff. He said, if you want to do something in your life that you've always dreamed of, then take 10 minutes out of your day every single day and study it. If you want to do something, just 10 minutes. Next thing you know, you'll be a whiz at it eventually. And I think that goes for anything. If you want to do something great in your life, do something every day, whether it's small or large, to accomplish your dreams. No, I believe that everybody here has dreams in some area of your life that you would love to accomplish. Now, listen, I need you to understand. Let me give you a definition of dreams. When I say dreams, I'm not talking about wanting to accomplish owning a Lamborghini. That's not what I'm talking about, all right? You would stand out like a sore thumb in Coleman, and you would be really cool, and somebody would steal it. Listen, that was mean. Listen. I'm not talking about owning a new Lamborghini. I'm not talking about being the first person to colonize Mars, dreaming like I would love to just go to Mars, just fly a jet there and just colonize it. I'm not talking about flying on the back of pterodactyls. That's called daydreaming. I'm not talking about owning bigger houses and more cars. I'm not talking about, this is really stupid. Travis laughed at this, so I'm going to say it out loud because I just said it off the cuff because I watched a movie about a long time ago. I'm not talking about owning a rat named Edward that you hang out with. Anyway, that was stupid. Listen. So what I'm saying to you, like, that's daydreamers. That's for all my ADD people. We daydream about stupid stuff. Listen, what I'm talking about when I'm talking about dreaming, everybody in here has dreams. And I believe they're God dreams, whether you believe it or not. Some of those dreams look like this. I want to be a better spouse. I want to be a better parent. I want to read more. I want to diet and exercise a little bit more. I want to walk with Jesus more. I want to spend more time in the Word 2018. I want to spend more time in prayer. I want to learn the voice of God in prayer. Dreams of, man, I want to get set free from addiction. You know, there's a lot of people that think addiction is just wrapped around like drugs and alcohol and pornography, but honestly, addiction can be a lot of things. Addiction can be social media that you spend 4 hours a day on. Addiction could be like pork chops. I mean, eating too much. Fudge rounds. Addiction can be anything that owns you. Like, if you're here today, like, let's just play pretend like we're fasting. And I said, well, we are fasting, but not play pretend like we are fasting. Let's play pretend like another way, all right? Let me just say that I'm looking at you. And I say, hey, won't you fast Netflix? Oh, no, I'm good. I'm gonna fast like Diet Cokes. Okay. Well, why don't you want to fast Netflix? Well, that won't be hard. Okay, then fast it. No, I don't need to fast that. Why? Well, I got that. I can do that easy. Oh, you can't? Well, do it. No, I'll fast Diet Coke. What I'm saying is if you can't, great possibility's got a hold on you. You know what I'm saying? Okay, let's move on. Listen, I need some water. I'm spitting everywhere. Listen, maybe it's a sin that's owned you that you seem to not be able to shake, that you're in bondage to. And maybe you've just given up saying that I can't overcome this sin. Can I go and tell, if that's you, if you're here and that's a secret thing to you, I'm not telling you got to get, you know, tell the whole entire world. But one thing I do want you to understand and know is that whatever that sin is, my God is bigger than that sin. He died on the cross for it, and you can be set free. You can. It's a mind. It starts in the mind. The enemy's lied to you. He's deceived you and told you you can't. Yes, you can. In Jesus' name. Maybe it's none of these things. Maybe it's just something that I didn't even mention that you have in your life that you dream about on a regular basis that just hasn't worked out for you yet. And maybe you started and failed and started and failed and started and failed to where all it is now is just a dream. I would say keep starting. And if you fail, start again. And if you fail, start again. Let me ask you a question. Let's just play pretend like it's just me and you in here, just me and you having a conversation. Hey, what do you dream about in the area of being different in your life? What do you dream about? If you're here and you're saying, you know, PA, there's really nothing in my life that I want to change. I just like it the way it is. I think if you're here and you're like, man, I just like my life the way it is. It's good. Then I want to ask you, why is that? Let's just talk for just a minute. I ain't trying to get in your business. But why is that? I like everything about it. I understand a little bit. But it seems like all of us should have something in our life that would want that we would want to do better, to move forward in, to have change in, all of us, including the one standing in front of you. The reason why I think I would ask you that question is here's the one thing that I have discovered over 24 years of walking with Jesus. So up and down, valleys and mountains, walking with Jesus. Hard times, good times, walking with Jesus. Is that the closer I get to Christ, the more I walk with Jesus, the more he reveals in my life that needs to be changed. That's why I ask you, why are you okay? Because I know that the whole purpose of sanctification, the Holy Spirit living inside of us, is to change us to be more like Christ. And I'm going to step out and say, there ain't no Jesus is in here. We want to become more like Jesus until we take our last breath. Did I say Jesus? I did. Listen, bad English. Sorry, all English majors in the house. I'm not an English major. Listen, but Jesus wants to change your life. And he does it till you take your last breath on this earth. I personally believe there's always something in our life that can change to become more like Christ. Always. You know, Jesus is a change agent. The Holy Spirit is he is a change agent. That's what he does. He changes us to become more like him. He changes us from becoming selfish to unselfish. That's who he is. And I hope this don't sound harsh. I'm going to say it as sweet and as loving as with a smile on my face as much as possible. If you're here today and your thought process is, I just like it in my life, I don't need change in my life, then I would ask you, where are you at when you're walk with Jesus? Because the people that I know who really walk with Jesus have always got things in their life that they want to change. Because here's the areas of my life that I want to become more like Christ in that I really struggle in. That's all of us. That's all of us. And you know what? Don't mean to bust your bubble or burst your bubble. English major, here I go. Listen, the one thing I know for a fact is that the closer you walk to him, the more you see. But guess what? He's changing you. Why is he changing you? So that you can be a vessel, a lantern that carries the light of Jesus inside of you, so that when you go into darkness, wherever that may be, you begin to have Jesus change other people through you. Jesus changes others through you. Other people's lives, I'm going to say it again before the service is over with, sermon's over with. Other people's lives can't be changed if your life isn't being changed. God wants to use you as his vessel, his hands and feet, to carry him to the nations, or to Coleman, Fairview, West Point, Welty, Arab, Gardendale. And if you're not willing to be changed, then how can you change others? All right, we're going to move on. Listen, I want to challenge everybody here to get better in life somewhere. If not, then you'll become a critic of those who are. I want to challenge everybody here to get better in life somewhere, because if you don't, you'll become a critic of those who are trying to make their life change for the glory of God. I don't know if you know critics. I know critics. Most critics are people who want to be like other people, but don't want to put the effort forth to do it. And so the only way that they can make themselves feel better is to tear down the person that's actually doing what they want to do. It just happens. And so I would challenge you, take steps. If it's baby steps, take steps. You got to start in your mind. Listen, I've heard people say in the past that the enemy steals your dreams The enemy steals your God dreams that God places in you. And I completely disagree with that. I believe that the enemy doesn't steal your dreams, but he steals your hope of accomplishing those dreams. I'm going to say it again. I need you to grab this. I don't believe the enemy steals those God dreams that he places inside of you of being a better spouse, better parent, reading more, diet, exercise, walking with Jesus, reading your Bible, whatever it may be. I don't know. The enemy doesn't steal your dreams. He steals your hope of accomplishing those dreams. Listen, guess what? The enemy gonna let you dream all day long. Because if all it is a dream, then you're not a threat to hell. But if you start believing in your mind and quit listening to the lies and start walking into the truth that God's called you to walk in, and those dreams that God's placed in you start becoming a reality, then you become a threat to hell. So he wants to, listen, if he can keep you dreaming and you don't do anything with those dreams, guess what happens? You start walking a lot of shame and guilt and condemnation, which is his number one tools in his tool bag to take you down. That's his number one tool. All the accomplishing, you're trying to want to accomplish those dreams, but not putting any action to them. He wants to do everything he can to produce guilt, shame, and condemnation. And the whole point is to keep you from trying to change. Because if you change, you become who God's called you to be, then he wins. See, it's the change in you that's powerful in other people's lives. I remember whenever I was at Coca-Cola and worked there, on Friday and Saturday night, I was in the clubs, partying, but also looking for what life was really about. On Sunday, I went to church, gave my life to Jesus. Instantly, now this don't happen in everybody's life, but in my life, instantly, I was a holy roller overnight almost. Radically, my life changed in a day. Now, have I been perfect? Lord, no. But I know that day I encountered God. He changed my life, and the next I was changed, and he's still changing me. Why? Because that's who he is. That's what he does. So here's what happened. If the enemy could keep you dreaming without working towards accomplishing those dreams, he can cause a lot of guilt, shame, and condemnation. Let me reveal it to you. Proverbs 13:12 says this. Listen to what it says. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. In other words, when you're hoping for something and it doesn't happen, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Listen, the enemy doesn't want you to find hope in fulfilling your dreams. If you live your life with the hopelessness of, I can't do this, why do you think that way? Your God is small. God, our God is bigger than that. You can. Will you fail? Good possibility. But your God is a God of grace and mercy, who is a God that helps people in their failure. Thank you, Jesus. If he wasn't, then none of us would even be here. So, if you live your life with hopelessness, I can't do this. I can't be a better spouse. I can't be a better parent. I can't read more. I can't study more. I can't get up early in the morning. I can't do it. Then guess what? You never will. And the enemy comes with shame and guilt and condemnation, which is the strongest tool in his toolbox to keep you crippled and not walking in your calling. You got a calling. You got a calling. My wife got, I mean, not my wife, but somebody that's helping build our church, like, sent a couple of us, like, for Christmas, they gave us a tool bag. Like, I don't know if this got anything to do with the sermon. I'm just trying to wake some of y'all up. Listen, they gave me like this bag, like where you put your tools in, and like it's a Carhartt. It's really, really nice. And I brought it home, and I was like, hey, look what I got. I got a tool bag. And the first thing my wife says to me, no lie, she says, what are you going to do with that? You know what that means? I mean, like, you don't know how to use no tools. And she's right. Because we had a pipe bust in our house. My daughter calls me up, like, when it was really, really cold a couple days ago. She's like, Dad, the house! house is flooded. And I was like, oh my Lord. So pop buzz, I come home and seriously, my whole downstairs is like flooded like crazy. And like, what do I do? And like, you know what I did? I can talk. I called everybody I know that knows how to use tools, and they came and helped me. I called my father-in-law. I called Tyler Dooley. I called Brady Barker Plumbing. Thank you, Barker Plumbing. They helped me so much and gave me a bill. They're awesome. Listen, it was phenomenal. By the way, you need to call them. They're great at what they do. Listen, I just helped them out right there. Commercial break. Listen, so, I mean, I don't know how to use a tool bag, but the devil knows how to use a tool bag. He got him. He called shame, guilt, and condemnation that he wants to use against you in large ways to get you to become his masterpiece and not God's masterpiece. And whenever you're not walking in the calling and the dreams that God's placed in your heart and in your life, then you're actually allowing the enemy to win. And your life's too short to let the enemy win. Your life's too short to let the enemy win. Listen, when you place hope in the dreams that God has placed in your hearts, the hope of Jesus, the hope that he will walk with you and help you accomplish these things in your dream is fulfilled. You become who God's called you to be, and it will begin to produce life in you, the life of Christ. I call it abundant life. You know, I really believe that the dreams that God places in us, honestly, a lot of times I really believe it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I really do. So you're telling me like diet and exercise is like the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. We're made of body, soul, and spirit. God wants you to live longer so you can accomplish your calling and be used for God in a longer life. It's good to be healthy, which is hard to say in Alabama. At least give it a shot. Listen, 100%, I really think a lot of it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit because God's trying to change you to become more like him. You know, I believe that we should all say this year, every one of us should say, new year, new me. This is new year, new me. This is my year. I'm going to walk in who God's called me to be. Why? Because we should all have a desire to want to change some way, form, or fashion. And so this is how we're starting off the new year. We're starting it off with a message on January the 7th about a mindset, because it starts in the way that we think. The only hope that we have in our dreams being fulfilled is changing the way that we think. And God knows this. How do I know that? Because the Bible talks about it all through the scriptures. I'm just going to give you a few verses. I'm going to give you a few verses where the Bible talks about the mind. And this is what it says in Colossians 3, 1 through 3. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, that he's talking to believers, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Now listen, when it says the realities of heaven, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Who is the centerpiece of heaven? Jesus is the centerpiece of heaven. So I would say set your realities on Jesus. Why? Because we, our passion and desires as believers should be, I want to be like Christ. He is my Savior. He is my hero. I want to carry the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, because that is the characteristics of who God is. I want to set my mind on the realities of heaven. A lot of us immediately go to like golden streets and pearly gates and mansions and all that kind of stuff. I don't think that's what the scripture's talking about. I think the realities of heaven is I want to be kingdom-minded. I want to be selfless. I want to be like Jesus, because that's the only way that I can change the world around me every day. Realities of heaven is focusing on the centerpiece of heaven, which is the Son of the Father, Jesus. It says where Christ sits. See, told you. Set your sights on the reality of heaven, where Christ sits. That's the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. This is what it says. So how do you set your sights? You think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Once again, what are the things of heaven? I think about Christ. I think about wanting to be his hands and feet. I think about wanting to honor him and serve him. I think about Jesus, the one that sits at the place of honor at God's right hand, I think about carrying his characteristics and his nature in my life. How do I do that? By letting the Holy Spirit inside of me work and change me through the sanctification process of becoming more like Jesus and changing every single day to be like Christ. Right? Think. How do you think? You don't think with your pinky toe. You don't think with your kneecap. You don't think with your elbow, like, what? I know that's dumb. You think with what? Your mind. It starts here. It's all in how you think. It's amazing how many of us in this room need to renew our minds and start thinking more like Christ. We're going to come around to that in just a second. For you died to this life, and your real life is where it's hidden with Christ. So you're a child of God. You're hidden in the life of Jesus in God. 1 Peter 1:13 says this. It says, so prepare. I think prepare means have a plan. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. So let me ask you a question. The only way that your dreams can come true in the area of living out who God's called you to be, the Bible says your minds have got to have action. The only time it is not action is only when it's a dream, but it becomes action when it becomes hope and reality. Prepare means I need to have a plan. So I think it's a great opportunity in 2018. It's the new year. It's a new season. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to have a new plan. You know, one thing that I do every single year, and you don't have to do this. You can do whatever you want to, but I read the one-year Bible every single year, try to read the whole entire Bible every year so that I know for a fact and make sure that I'm reading. And what helps me out is it's a plan. You got Old Testament and New Testament and Proverbs and Psalms in it. You read the Psalms twice and Proverbs twice. And read the Old Testament once in the year and New Testament once in the year. But it's a plan. Every single day, it breaks it up for you to read the Word. And it helps stir it up in me. But I've got to have a plan. If I just came out and said, I think I'm just going to read the Bible today, my personality will not let me do that. This keeps me strategic. Some of you are like, hey, well, I want to be a better spouse. Well, some of you need to make a plan. Hey, you know what? I look at old Joe and Sally's relationship over here. I want to go ask them. I want to get to know that guy. I don't want to find out what makes him a great spouse. I'm going to read books on how to be a better spouse. I'm going to go to Right Now Media, which if you're here today, you know what Right Now Media is. You can go to Right Now Media through our website. It's got all kinds of things that will help you understand Christianity. It's other tools to help you grow in your walk with God. You can go to Right Now Media and learn how to be a better spouse. I'm going to plan on how to do that. I'm just giving you illustrations. You could do anything you want to, but you got to prepare. Listen, there's no way that you can ever change into who God's called you to be if you don't take steps of action from what your mind. Listen, it's got to go from your mind to your heart to your feet. And you got to move. You got to move. You got to move in who God's called you to be. Don't let it just be dreams. Do something with it. If you're dreaming it, then take baby steps and accomplish it in Jesus' name. This guy's going to move in you. He says, put all your hope in the gracious salvation. Well, who's your gracious salvation? Jesus. Put your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Romans chapter 12. Verse 2, which we'll spend just a hair minute longer. It says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Don't be like the rest of the world around you. How can you change the world around you if you act like them? Be different than them. Don't carry the same patterns of this world, but let God what? Transform you. What does transform mean? Change. Let God change you into a what? The person you used to be, just let him take your own back. Hello, what was that? Is there a fireman in here? Listen. It says, let God transform you into a new person. What is a new person? It's a changed person. What is a new person? A new person is somebody that looks like Christ. Now, this is what it says. Let God transform you into a new person. By how? How? How do you change? By changing the way you think. See, God knows that the way we change is in between our ears. It starts here. Got to change our mentality. It says, then you will know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, some translations say patterns. Others say behaviors and customs. And listen, behaviors and customs of thought or of the thought patterns of this world are things like I don't need to change or apathetic or I can't do this by myself. I don't need God's help or I'm hopeless. There's no way. Or man, I've tried so many times and failed. What's the point? Well, the point is that God wants to transform you. It says, but let God transform you. Now, if you'll let me just feel smart for just a minute. All right? I want to get a little deep here on you. All right. Now, when you look at the word transform, let's talk about the word transform for just a second. Change. The word transform in the Greek is present passive imperative. All right? It's present passive imperative. Now, let me break that down for you, what that means. The word transform in the Greek, when you break it down, let me tell you what it means. So the word imperative means it's a command. It's kind of like what we learned in English. It's an understood you. You let God transform you. So are you letting him do that? It's a command. Like, are you being transformed? So imperative is, it's a command. Present means it's to be a continuous action. It's not just a one-time thing. Yeah, Jesus, I want to change my life. I raised my hand. I said the prayer. I'm good to go, and I'm going to keep living the same way I always live. That's not what God's called us to. God's called to let the Holy Spirit come live in your life and let there be a continuous action of him changing you on a regular basis. And the only way that happens is whenever he convicts you, you obey and walk in it. It's not a one-time thing. You'll be continually renewed. So imperative is a command. Present is continuous action. And passive means it's being done to you. You're not the one doing the action. In other words, the Holy Spirit is working in you. So it's a command. It's a continuous action. And it's not you doing it. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you saying, hey, look, here's some things that I want moved in your life. Now go with me. Grab my hand and let's do this thing together. The verse says the only way that you can transform into who God has called you to be is by changing the way you think. Listen, that's the number one place the enemy attacks people is in their mind. Number one, your warfare, spiritual warfare, takes place in the mind first. Strategies and tricks of the enemy are always deception and lies. And here's what I believe. If I was to guess today in this room right here, just in this room right here, in here, now, I'm not talking about outside these four walls. I'm talking about in this room. If I was to guess today that there are many people, maybe not all, but many people in this room, that if they were to get really, really honest with me today, if I was to give you some truth serum and just inject it in you, and you was to just have to be honest, I would step out and say there's a lot of people in this room who are tormented in their minds every single day. Where does the torment come from? Does that come from God? Let me tell you what torment comes from. It comes from lies. You've created a habit, a pattern in your mind, the way you're thinking. It's a thinking pattern, and you've bought into a lie, and it seems like you can't shake it, but Jesus wants to renew that pattern, the way you think. And here's what it reveals if you're tormented today in your mind, some way, form, or fashion. I don't know what it's from. It could be from a past sin. It could be from a present sin. It could just be my life. It could be what, I don't know. I have no clue. But here's what I know for a fact. God didn't call you to walk in torment in the one little short life that he's called you to on this earth. God's called you to walk in freedom. And what it reveals is that you really don't believe that God is for you. If you're here today and you've got torment in your mind in certain ways, or you're anxious and you're full of worry and stress and fear and all that kind of stuff up here in between your ears, there's a great possibility that you really don't believe that God is as big as he says he is. And you really believe it's up to you to fix it, but you can't do it and you hadn't done it and it's still driving you crazy and you feel like there's no hope, but there is. His name is Jesus. Here's the big picture. You're up against the devil who is scheming to fill your mind with thoughts that are opposed to God's plan for your life. You hear me? You're up against the enemy, the devil, who is scheming to fill your mind with thoughts that are opposed to God's plan for your life. And you've got to recognize these thoughts, these patterns, and realize that this is not truth. This is not my God. This is not scripture. When you walk in torment, what you're really believing more than anything else, I need you to hear me. This may not make sense right now, but ask God about it. What you're really believing is that God is not for me, but he's against me. And God does not want to set me free or cannot set me free. But he does want to set you free, and he can set you free. You've got to recognize these thought patterns. Listen, one thing I've learned is it's hard to distinguish a lot of times lies from truth. It's amazing how a lot of times the lies seem so real. I mean, this seems like, I mean, this is really God. I deserved all the things that's going on. But so this has got to be God. No, it's not. God didn't save you to torment you. God saved you to change you, to become more like him, so that you can be effective in the world you live in today. In your one little short little life, the generation he chose for you to live in, which is this generation. You got to recognize these thought patterns and realize that it's not truth. Listen, if we choose to believe the lies and not the truth of Jesus, then it will keep us from changing and being who God's called us to be, and will honestly take us farther into torment and exhaustion in our minds. But God's not created. He says, renew your mind, transform your mind into a new person. You know, I've noticed that whenever I get focused on the lies of the enemy, that I can't hear the voice of God. And the voice of God is what always brings life. I believe the voice of God is the most important part of the Christian life. Some of you say, like, oh, I thought that would be the Bible. Well, how do you understand the Bible if the voice of God isn't teaching you the Word of God? How do you know when to share Christ with somebody out on aisle 9 at Walmart if it wasn't for the voice of God speaking to you and saying, share Christ? How do you know when to give to somebody who needs money or give to somebody who needs something that you have in your house if the voice of God doesn't speak to you and tell you? How in the world do I give you a word every Sunday morning if I don't spend time with God and walk with him and hear his voice and what direction we need to go in? I know there's one sentence that I know for a fact came from God, which all of this I believe came from God, but I know for a fact that whenever I said, I got to find it, the enemy doesn't steal your dreams. He steals your hope of accomplishing those dreams. I was in my prayer time and I heard God speak that to me. That's why I wrote it down and said, I've got to say that. What I've learned is that when I have fear and lies and I believe the deception and my mind is tormented from different things, that I can't hear the voice of God. And then if I can't hear the voice of God, how in the world can I help you get set free in areas that God wants to set you free from as a pastor with the gifts that God's given me? And how can you, if you don't hear the voice of God, help other people around you get set free from the things that's holding them back from being who God's called them to be? See, everybody in this room has a word for somebody. See, that's why I think it's important. I'm going to go just a half second longer. I didn't say this first service, you get a little extra. Listen, that's why I think it's important that you come to church as often as you can. Not because I got to be there because I got to gain favor with God. That's just stupid. I think you come to church. It's amazing how many people come to church for the pastor. Well, bless God, I heard Pastor Andy ain't preaching, so I don't guess I'm going to go today. I might just watch it online or something. Or you know what? I heard somebody say that. Well, I knew what you was preaching on, so we just stayed home. I heard that. I'm serious. Somebody told me that. I'm like, okay, thank you. Appreciate you. I want to help change the mindset of church in the South as much as I can. Listen, the church is not about the pastor. The church is about Jesus, and the church is about the person sitting next to you. And God's given a lot of you guys in this room words of encouragement and words from God for other people in this room. And if you're not here to encourage other people and spur them on Hebrews 10:25 with the things that God's given you, then how in the world can God use you to help other people inside this building? If you say, oh, sure, I know what the pastor's going to preach on, I'm staying at the house. It's about you and the person next to you. You've got words for other people. Somebody needs a hug from you today. Somebody needs some encouragement from you today. Somebody needs a high five from you today. Will I still come up here and preach as hard as I can? Yes, I will. But people in this room need you too. That's why you come. I got on my soapbox. I got to hurry because we've already gone late. Listen, I'm sweating like a mule up here. I'm about to take my vest off. Listen, I didn't say my shirt. I said my vest. That'd be gross. Y'all all leave or get saved one. It's just gross. Listen. Three things real quick. You got to filter what you let in. How do you reset? How do you reset your mind? You got to filter what you let into your mind. Renew your mind about who God is in your life and who you are. God didn't create you by accident. He created you for a purpose. And you can be used by God no matter what you've done, where you've been, or who you are. Filter the things that God gives you. I mean, filter the things that the enemy puts in your mind and take truth and replace it with what the enemy's trying to place in. What are the negative things you let filter into your mind on a regular basis? Listen, I'm not your Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to tell you have to do this. I'm just saying social media to me is more negative than it is positive. So I jumped off of it and I got the cobwebs out of my head. And I'm telling you, I was a different person after I jumped off of it. Now, is there positive stuff? Yes, there's good things that can come from social media, but I just got so tired of the negative stuff. What about people in your life? Who are the gossips in your life that you surround yourself with that, man, you constantly find yourself just enjoying the juicy stuff? I would you know, listen to the hand because the ear ain't listening. I'm gonna hang out with you whenever you're not gossiping. Negative people, negative things. What about the news? Listen, they ain't a news station on today. The news station knows how to get us to watch. You know what they do? They place fear in our lives, and so they show us all the negative stuff. In every show I ever watch, barely is there ever one positive story that ever takes place on the news. And I'm getting old, so I watch the news. But I'm having to learn how to take it in doses and just because it will make you cynical and crazy. You think that the world is about to end at any moment. And so I just have to kick it to the curb every now and then. Hey, listen, the news is good for you in doses because I think people need to catch up with it every now and then. Some people are just dumb to reality. So I'm not saying it's evil in and of itself. None of this is evil in and of itself, but I'm telling you, if it causes you to go places you shouldn't go, then kick it to the curb. The second thing is coming to agreement with the truth. The Bible says it's the truth that sets you free. Renew your minds by believing and living out who God says you are. Listen, if you believe the lie of the enemy that you can't get set free from addiction, that you can't be a better spouse, that you can't be a better parent, that you can't read the word more, that you can't get up early in the morning, that you can't whatever that is, then guess what? You'll never be able to do it. But God says you can. You got to change the way you think. You got to come into agreement with truth. Listen, if you can't change, how can God change others through you? Then number three is practice this every day. What do I practice, Andy? Number one and two. Filter what you let in your minds and come into agreement with the truth. Listen, I think everybody here should go through Freedom Group. Everybody here should go through Freedom Group. If you've not gone through Freedom Group, then you need to go through Freedom Group. We ain't got it online yet. We ain't got people signed up yet or anything. We actually got people like getting ready to lead them, and all of these will go online in the next couple of weeks or so, but I'm going ahead and getting it in your mind right now. A lot of people scared to death to go through Freedom Group because they're like, man, I don't want to go through that because people might not like discover something about me that I don't want nobody to know. Well, listen, that's a lie from the enemy to keep you from coming. God wants you to be there. I believe that because I'm telling you, it gives you a new understanding of who God is. Everybody in this room should at least go through it. And it's amazing how many people, when they go through it once, they go through it again and again and again and learn something new every single time because Freedom Group is absolutely incredible. It's a 12-week study. It's got a retreat at the end that is just really good for your soul, for you. It's incredible. It gives you a new understanding of who God is in your life. Now listen, if you're here and you're like, hey, I want to find out more about this Freedom Group, just real quick. There are people all over our church that's got Freedom shirts on. I got Richard in it. Richard back there holding the wall up. Throw your hand up, Richard. All right, look at Richard. That's Richard right there. Yeah, he got a Freedom shirt on. He got a blue one on. We got some girls that's got red, and we got some people that's got gray. And listen, if you want to find out, some of those people are mean, all right? So you might know, I'm just kidding. Every one of them are super sweet. They want to answer, they wore that shirt today for a reason because they want to answer your questions. So if you got questions about it, do it. But here's the reason why I say all that is because at the end of every Freedom conference, they make a declaration, they make a confession together. And it's Bible. It's who they are in God. It's how God sees them. See, the reason why a lot of people in this room aren't changing, the reason why a lot of people in this room have just kind of given up, the reason why a lot of people in this room have quit or feel like they can't get set free is because you really got a wrong mindset of who God is. And what happens, here's where you probably need to start changing your mindset. You need to change your mindset in the way you view who God is. You need to understand that God is for you, not against you, because most of us believe that God's against us more than he is for us, and that's why you're not changing. And so what we've got to start doing, instead of thinking like, God's against me, God don't like me, God don't want to have nothing to do with me, I'm going to start declaring what the Word of God says about who God sees me as his child, and see who he sees me as in my identity with him, and I'm going to walk in that. So what they do is they start the process of helping people in Freedom Conference, Freedom Retreat, start understanding who God is in your life. And here's what they go through. We don't have to do this right now, but this is what it says. They confess. He says, they say, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. If God is for me, who can be against me? I am chosen by God. He has not rejected me. God loves me so much that he gave his only son for me. He chose me and appointed me to bear good fruit. God contends with those who contend with me. This is all biblical. Spirits of rejection come at me in one direction, but flee in seven. I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I am holy and blameless. I am redeemed through the blood of Jesus. I am an heir of heaven. I am seated in the heavenly places. I am God's workmanship. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am a new creation. I am a citizen of heaven. I am rooted and grounded in love. I am more than a conqueror. I am healed. I am free. Lord, everything you say about me is true. Amen. Listen. See, most of us don't believe that. Listen, what I've done for you, this I felt like the Lord said this once again. I got our staff to do this real quick. And everybody in their chair should have got one of these cards that says 2018 declarations. Here's what I want to challenge you with. This is the Word of God. Some of you need to start speaking truth over yourself. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. And I think it's time for many of you to start speaking the Word of God over yourself. And so what I want to challenge you with is this right here, this card. Somewhere where you look every single day, somewhere you're at every single day, I want to challenge you. Hey, this isn't goofy. This is the real deal. If the enemy's putting inside of you, oh, that's just stupid, that's goofy, that preacher's, man, he's a weirdo. Listen, that's the enemy, not the way I am a weirdo. But the thing about it is you not using this, it's not, that's the enemy. Put it on your mirror where you got to look in the mirror every single day. Put it on your dashboard where you got to drive. Put it in your quiet place, wherever that may be. I don't know. If you go and work out and got a workout machine downstairs in your basement, put it on your, I don't know what you do. But what you need to do is every single day declare this. Don't just read it. Declare it over yourself of who you are in Christ. And guess what? We're going to do it today. Some of y'all are like, oh no, oh my God, I told you, sweetheart, this is the weird church. We're not weird. I just want you to start believing this. I want you declaring this over yourself. And so we're going to do it together. And I want you to do it with some authority. I want you to do it with some unction. I want you to do it with like I really believe this about who God says I am with him. Because when you change that, you can change other things in your life. So why don't we start there? Look, let's go to number one. All right, we're going to say it out loud together. Y'all ready? Oh, knew you are. No, that's weaker than pond water. Listen. Number one. Here we go. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Number six. Number seven. Now, do you believe that? Now, listen, okay, look. You just got warmed up. Now, I want you speaking it with declaration. I want you to speak it and proclaim it over yourself. Don't speak it for the person next to you. Don't speak it because Pastor Andy says to, and don't mumble it because, like, this is really strange, man. Listen, say it like you mean it. Because it's truth. This is the Word of God. I put scripture beside it so that you'll have it and know that this isn't just like, I'm just going to be spoken word. I'm just speaking it just because Andy. No, it's the Word. So let's speak it with some unction. Can we do it one more time? One more time. One more time. One. Two. 3. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Jesus is my life. Do you believe that? Yes. Come on now. Walk in it. Live. Listen. How are you changing? Do you look the same as you did last year, or did 2017 God do something in your life? I hope he did. I know he wanted to. If he didn't, guess what? God's a God that starts with fresh starts. Why don't we do something in 2018? I'm not beating you up because you didn't do much in 17, if that's you. I'm just telling you, you got hope for 18. Because God is a God of hope. He is everlasting and he's always pursuing. So how are you changing? If not, why aren't you changing? One of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to change us. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, you should be changing. Do you live more like the world around us, or do you live more like heaven above us? Listen, when you change, you stand out. Not so you can bring glory to yourself, but for the purpose of making the name of Jesus famous. That's why he wants to make you a new person, not for you, so you can just pat yourself. Look how righteous I am. Bless God. I wish everybody was like me. That's just dumb. He does it because he wants you to glorify him, to lift him up. So let's do it together. Listen, there's people in this room who couldn't say these things. You couldn't say, I'm a child of God, because you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. Why don't you do that today? We'll give you an opportunity. Start today. Start your 2018 right. Start now, January 7th. Come on, baby. Listen, talking to Jesus, giving your life today, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you, lift you up, glorify you. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We honor you, we praise you, we thank you. If you're here today and you say, Andy, I've never given my life to Jesus Christ, and I want to give my life to Christ today. The Bible says very plainly, whether you're online or whether you're in this room, to confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth and to believe in your heart that he is raised again on the third day. And it says, and you will be saved. You confess with your mouth that he is Lord and believe in your heart that he died on the cross, paid for your sin, and rose from the grave. You say, Andy, how do I confess him as Lord? How do I give my life to him? Well, the Bible says to confess him as Lord. In other words, you got to talk to him. So why don't we talk to him right now? Talk to him. If that's you, say, Andy, I want to give my life to Jesus. I couldn't say none of those things because I don't know him. Well, why don't you get to know him today so you can say these things? Say, Jesus, come on, talk to him. I confess you as Lord. I turn from my sin, and Jesus, I follow you. You are my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for changing me and breaking me. If you're here today and you just gave your life to Jesus Christ and you mean it from the bottom of your heart, listen, can we celebrate with them, Desperation Church? Come on. Listen, if you're online and you're saying, I just gave my life to Jesus, if you're watching online, I want to encourage you. Hey, why don't you message us right now and let us know that you gave your life to Christ, and let us get in touch with you and give you some next steps. If you're here in this room and you say, Andy, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, listen, you've got a connection card in your chair. I want to challenge you to fill that out and mark the box that says, I gave my life to Christ. Listen, we got people right here in the front that you can bring them to if you want to, and they would love to give you some next steps on how to follow up with your salvation that you gave your life to Christ today. And by the way, if you're here and you just need prayer for anything, these guys are awesome. These ladies and guys are awesome. And listen, they're safe and they love you. Just want to pray for you. You can come after the service and get prayed for. The second thing is there's guys and ladies with cans at the doors. Drop it off in the can. And somebody's going to give you a buzz. And then the third place is when you go through these doors, before you go through these line doors, to your left is an info bar. We got a free gift we want to give you. But we also, honestly, we just want to give you some next steps and how to start walking in your journey with God, okay? Hey, if you're here today and you say, Andy, I want change in my life, man. I want to do something with my life. In 2018 and on, would you pray for me? If that's you, would you just throw your hands up? Where you at? All over the house. Father, in Jesus' name, may we change. May we change to be more like you. May you do great things in our life, God. May we not be fearful. Father, I pray for those who in this room who may be tormented in their mind on a regular basis. I pray in Jesus' name that they'd be set free and that, God, you do large things. God, we honor you, we love you, and we praise you, Jesus, in your name.
Amen, amen. Can we celebrate one more time, Desperation Church?